need to make a fuss. From hottest news to well-known clues, we got the latest news. Let's go to interview the show. When deep breeze feeling the flow. Life was there, the hottest trends. Our love for tech never ends. From fatal lands to pixel sands, we cover where it stands. Stay up to date with us. No need to make a fuss. From hottest news to well-known clues, we got the latest news. Let's go tune into the show. Tune into the show. When deep beats stealing the flow. When deep beats stealing the flow. Wife who's there, the hottest trends. Our love for tech never ends.
All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Let me switch it back a little bit, get some, there we go, put it on my playlist.
Oh, we're at the Renaissance Fair.
No, we're going to be fine. And of course, I got to turn it down a little bit, because it's, there we go.
Just give me my giant turkey leg.
Okay. So, first article we've got today, Variety, The Chosen Plans, A Biblical Universe. Yes, Jesus Cinematic Universe is coming, folks. They're doing Moses and Joseph shows, plus animated and unscripted spinoffs. Okay, so let's read a little further. The Chosen creator Dallas Jenkins has launched 5-2 Studios and has unveiled a slate of projects in the works, including an animated series, an unscripted show with Bear Grylls, and a multi-season take on the story of Moses. Damn, they're really going to go
Bear
into Moses.
Bear Grylls or Baylor?
Bear Grylls. Sorry, Bear Grylls.
What?
According to 5-2 Studios' mission statement, the indie studio plans to produce Bible-inspired stories through uniquely human and authentic storytelling and audience engagement.
He's a producer, or he's like, I demand I be Moses.
I have no idea. Jenkins was set to announce the new studio and his upcoming programming plans, as well as to roll out the final two seasons of The Chosen during this weekend's Chosen Con in Orlando, Florida. That two-day gathering of fans features cast members and producers behind the series about the life of Jesus, played by Jonathan Roamy, which began as a crowdfunded indie short in 2017, but since has become a global smash.
You know who Bear Grylls is, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Earlier this year.
It just kind of seems odd in his line of work.
Yeah.
He's like, I could produce some stuff.
Earlier this year, an arbitrator ended the relationship between Jenkins, The Chosen, LLC, and former partner Angel Studios, giving Jenkins oversight of The Chosen as he now builds out 5-2 Studios. The Chosen Season 6 will focus on the story of the crucifixion, while Season 7 will center on Jesus' resurrection. Both seasons will contain 8 episodes and will include a global theatrical release of extended crucifixion and resurrection episodes. That continues the unique distribution model that The Chosen has done since its launch, including The Chosen app, theatrical, linear outlets, and streaming. Season 5, which began production in April and wrapped in July, is expected to premiere next spring. Meanwhile, as The Chosen continues, the first new series out of 5-2 Studios will be the animated Chosen Adventures. We do not know if this is anime yet, guys. A youthful take on the Jesus story. Featuring voice actors including Paul Walter Hauser of Blackbird and Yvonne Orji of Insecure. Yvonne Orji. That's a name, that's her name.
I don't know. Orji just sounds like it shouldn't be in a Jesus film.
That, she can't help her name. Set in the same time and
you know,
landscape.
They can change them nowadays. It's just the courthouse and a little paperwork.
Set in the same time and landscape as The Chosen, The animated series will focus on...
Change it to missionary.
It will focus on Jesus' interaction with a group of children he meets in the wilderness. Oh, it's one of those! Where it's like there's a bunch of kids in the wilderness and it's just, there's room here to tell the story of Jesus through the eyes of children in the whimsical format of animation, Jenkins said.
Now that just didn't seem...
But isn't that the kind of thing that we used to have as kids where it was...
Superbook?
Like stuff like that.
Yeah, Superbook's still a thing.
Well,
now it's CGI. It used to be anime.
Animated. They didn't do anime.
Cheap
animation. Yeah. There's room here to tell
the
story.
It's made in the same place, buddy.
It probably... Well, I don't know, because there was definitely a Western animation studio, but I know that X-Men was animated in Korea. There's room here to tell the story of Jesus through the eyes of children in the whimsical format of animation, Jenkins said. We thought there's something there, seeing Jesus through the eyes of kids. We're not going to expand on that in the Mothership show, but what if we took time with that in an animated show that was witty and fun and that adults could appreciate? We really wanted to get this right. We can't afford for our second project to come out of the gate and people to go, you know, it's fine, but we really want to make sure that the audience really loves it. Also in the works, The Chosen and the Wild with Bear Grylls is a 6-episode adventure series shooting this fall. Jenkins will take part on camera as the Chosen fan Grylls puts him through some various challenges. Wow. This is the first of multiple partnerships in the unscripted space, Jenkins said. For me as a rugged indoorsman, I'm very scared about what I'm going to be subjected to, but I'm willing to take one for the team. It's the idea of partnering with other people who have their own audiences and for us to bring our thing into their world. After The Chosen wraps, for his next flagship program, Jenkins plans next to write, direct, and showrun a 3-season series about the life of Moses. There actually isn't a story in the Bible, possibly even including Jesus, that has more pop culture, historical moments, phrases, and imagery than the story of Moses, Jenkins said. There's an epic story that can be told. In the midst of it was a reluctant Tony Soprano, basically the guy who was being tasked with leading the largest family in the world and didn't want it. Tony Soprano was always fighting for power, and Moses was actually always trying to give it up. And yet he's the one that God chose to lead the biggest religious movement and cultural movement in the history of the world. And he wasn't qualified. He's being tasked with verbally confronting the oppressors and slave owners and convincing them to let the Jewish people go. And he has a speech impediment.
Yep.
Just like how The Chosen asked the question, what would it have been like to meet Jesus and follow him or to oppose him? I think the Moses story asked the very same question, Jenkins added. Jenkins said the 3 seasons would be divided into the 3 eras of the Moses story. One is the rescue from Egypt. 2 is the parting of the Red Sea, the escape, the exodus, and the progression towards the Promised Land. And then the 3rd season would be after the 40 years of wandering in the desert, because nobody would want to watch the series where they're wandering around the desert for 40 years.
Yeah. Probably a montage.
Yeah.
Well,
I would say they could use the same 80s music we did here. It's Moses, and he's in the desert. Wandering around for 40 years! They're going to actually capture the Promised Land. Moses actually doesn't get a chance to experience that. He hands off leadership. Jenkins added...
He strikes the rock when God said not to.
Yeah, I thought, like in the History of the World Part 1,
he
dropped the command, the other command.
He threw the tablet. He had the hand carved himself. The first one.
Oh, so he got mad and
given
threw
by
the
God. Tab- well, he had to hand redo the tablet.
Oh, we didn't know that. So yeah. He got frustrated and threw. Okay, that makes sense.
If my bibliology Bible school is still up to date on, my,
right.
I hadn't forgotten anything.
Right. Jenkins added that after doing 7 seasons of The Chosen, he's looking to do a shorter series going forward.
Elaborate. It's because he saw the Jewish people worshiping false gods.
Right.
And that was in the commandments. He's like, I got a whole list of new rules. You broke one! Chunks them.
Right. The Mothership show has made me realize I never want to do 7 seasons of anything again. As long as I live, he said. Part of that might be laziness, but I think this lends itself to three great seasons of 8 to 10 episodes apiece. Meanwhile, in development are a series about the Acts of the Apostles, a limited series about Joseph. This is a story that can be told in 8 episodes, he said, of Joseph. We have writers that love The Chosen and want have their own stamp on it, but also defer to the larger Chosen story we're telling. All filmmakers and storytellers that we bring into our fold are going to be people who love the Mothership show and have no interest in rewriting the way that we do things. As he builds 5 and 2 Studios, Jenkins is in talks with streamers about an exclusive relationship for both The Chosen, but also the expanded universe. The Mothership show will always be free, we promise, and we'll never change that. The other projects, it'll depend. If there's a streamer that's willing to pay enough to sustain us to make sure we don't have to ask people for money, then that's great. We're going to talk about exclusive windows and all of that. We always are going to have a heart to make sure that people who can't afford to pay for it are particularly in third world countries that they have access to it. One of the things that's going to decide who we work with is who's willing to ensure that we can be sustainable for the next 10 plus years of making these projects and not have to, what I always call, dance for nickels on live streams while at the same time recognizing that there's a large chunk of the world who does need to see this for free. As for how aggressive Jenkins plans to be with 5 and 2 Studios, he warns against comparing it to creative universes like Marvel and Star Wars. I think that Marvel and Star Wars, who I love, and this isn't a criticism, but I think they've struggled at times with oversaturation, he said. So our strategy remains, is this a story that only we could tell, meaning in our style, our approach, The Chosen Way, stressing authenticity, the human connection. It's a story that only belongs on an epic scale from a Ridley Scott or a huge studio that's going to do a sword and sandals epic. Then it's not... If it's a story that only belongs on an epic scale...
Could you imagine a woke writer? Or a lesbian writer?
Oh my God.
There, I'm gonna ruin Jesus!
Ridley Scott or a huge studio that's gonna do a sword and sandals epic, then it's not for us. Someone else can do that just as well. Separately, Jenkins is also behind the upcoming feature, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, from Lionsgate, based on Barbara Robinson's book of the same name. Judy Greer and Pete Holmes star in the film, which hits theaters on November
Pete
the
8th. Holmes. What is Pete Holmes?
Isn't he that guy on Saturday Night Live?
Maybe. It's the name sounds... No. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
He's not... He wasn't ever on Saturday Night Live. He does a bunch of stand-up shows.
Oh, okay.
And he did those, remember those Batman parodies on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
He's like what was it?
Batman! The Batman!
He stabbed me with something long and hard like the other night when I stabbed you with something.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Judy and Pete give the movie a kind of tone that I really want for this, because it's not a soft Hallmark-y kind of movie. Which, there's nothing wrong with those, but I'm really excited for the fact that, like the book, it's very sharp and very witty, he said. It's not just a cheesy kid slapstick Christmas movie, but I think it's for adults as well. And Judy and Pete are evidence of that. It's a nativity story for everybody.
I really need to start The Chosen, because I've been wanting to watch it for the longest time.
Well, it's free, so...
Well, I know it is. That's where I grew up. I got the app.
Okay, so Janet Jackson believes the U.S. election will end in mayhem. Falsely claims that Kamala Harris is not black.
Well, she isn't.
Well, Janice Jackson...
Technically.
All right, so Janet Jackson warned voters of the potential chaos surrounding the upcoming November election in a recent interview with The Guardian. Now, why should we care about Janet Jackson? Because she's part of Michael Jackson's family. And anybody...
She whipped out a tit at one time during the Super Bowl.
Okay. Let's go back into the information we know and we've talked about back
when
we...
No, I know that. No, I saw it.
No, that's not what I mean. Okay. So, we talked a lot about conspiracy, the elites, and things like that, and the Jackson family was a huge part of all of this. Michael, right. Janet, all of these people. They know...
Well, think of Taylor
Michael
Swift
talked so much.
Her vote.
Yes.
So, they always... when you've seen here lately all the fundraising,
yeah.
It's all celebrities. Like, and one thing I always say is, someone that doesn't have to worry about a depression hitting...
Yeah.
They got the money to make it through. We don't.
Right. So, keep in mind that if Janet Jackson is saying that this is going to be a rare, very rough, chaotic election, then she's got some foreknowledge that we don't. And I really think she does have foreknowledge. Janet Jackson, again, she's a very prominent name, and Michael, yeah. Michael and her...
Really big in the 90s.
You've got to think about how much Michael and Janet talked about things.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson has probably seen things that we will never, ever want to see that's going on in Hollywood and with the elite. I guarantee it.
I'm sure.
Because Michael has referred several times, he's done, you can even find it on YouTube, where he's referred to people as Satan. He's literally,
yeah.
He said, this is not of God. Michael was a very godly man. That's one thing I know about him. And he was very much against these record labels. He said these people were horrible. He said he compared them to Satan. He doesn't want anything to do with them. So he's seen some very dark things. And I'm sure that Janet was a part of some of that, and that she knows things that we don't. Remember, Michael said we only had a certain amount of time to change things. And that's why they wanted to take him out. Because there was a fear that in his comeback concert, his big tour, that he was just going to spill the beans.
Really?
That he was just, yeah, he was going to spill the beans. Because it was this big, huge world tour where he was just going to spill the beans and say, all right, world, so I know, because he's done this. He's gone into actual speeches during his shows, because he can do that.
Yeah,
he's Michael Jackson. And if he goes out there and says, let me tell you everything that I've seen and everything that I know, these people would be, they'd be done. Because once Michael Jackson says, well, we've got evidence that this person's a pedophile, this person did this, this person did that, this person's doing this, that's it for Hollywood. Hollywood would be burned. Nobody would want anything to do with it. Because if they realize everything that's going on in Hollywood that he had talked about, and the stuff that's coming out like with Diddy and all that, it's all true. It's all true. And again, if Jackson is telling us, guys, that this is going to be a very bad, like it says right here, end in mayhem, that you need to, you know, you might want to, there's a, you can go to, I'm not sure, I think it's a U.S. Navy supply store, but I was looking up MREs. If you got $2,000 laying around, and some of you might, it might be a good idea to go buy a big old thing of MREs, because you might need them. I mean, you don't know what the hell's going to happen. An MRE would be better than eating nothing.
I'll hunt.
Well, I know that.
I'll be fine.
I know that, but not everybody does. And there's
Get you a gun, shoot what's out there.
I know that.
Follow a Haitian
But a lot of people don't.
And see what they eat. Cats, dogs, pigeons.
You gotta,
whatever they can grab.
You got to think about it. A lot of people don't really even understand everything that involves hunting. They don't know you got to skin the animal. They don't know.
They need the fur.
Well,
I know
that. But they don't, you know, there's a lot of people that have never.
Wait, you got to cook it too? Oh, my Lord.
And they don't know how to cook it. They don't know any of that. They don't know.
Throw it in flour, throw it on the skillet.
I know.
A little bit of oil.
Like you got to take if you get a deer, you got to take out the heart of it and all that.
I mean, there's tricks to take the gaminess out if you like that. Mm-hmm. I like it gamey.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just depends on you. But I'm saying there's a lot of people out there living around buildings. Basically, they're not hearing this out, and they don't know a lot of this shit.
Well,
and when the shit breaks down, they're gonna need somewhere to go. Okay. Now they're probably gonna be done for, because if you're in a city, you're pretty much gonna be fucked.
Yeah. Well. See how you see that on Crowder where he confronted the doctor that shut down New York during COVID?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's see. Well, you know what they supposedly said, Jackson told the news outlet. She's not black. That's what I heard, that she's Indian.
Well, when did you see that picture? How do you mix a black and an Indian and get the lightest skinned black person I ever saw in my life?
Harris's father is a Jamaican immigrant.
With something off about her.
Well, she's half black. Her father has been confirmed to be a Jamaican immigrant,
yeah.
But her mother was Indian. So she's half black. I mean, that doesn't mean...
I hadn't seen Indians that light skin or too many black people.
Well, she's Jamaican.
They have cancer or something.
Okay, she says she then reiterated her belief that regardless of who wins, she doesn't expect a peaceful transition of power in the aftermath of the election.
But you got to understand, too, what a lot of people are saying is not that she has black in her. She pretends to be what
more
she
black than she actually.
Yeah. She probably raised like a white. She's raised in Canada.
Right.
For a certain period of time.
I think there might be mayhem, Jackson said. Either way it goes, but we'll have to see. And I think she's right. And, of course, all these people are like, I'm going to vote blue. Well, you'll see what happens then.
I mean, you voted blue last time. Do you feel better than you did before you voted blue last time?
I had more money.
Yeah, we had more food. I mean, people weren't struggling for... I can't hardly find anything that doesn't have enough preservatives to kill an elephant.
Oh, yeah, I know. All right, so...
You know, even the stuff that's natural foods is genetically modified, so you can't say it's that natural.
Neil Gaiman, who I have several books on that shelf right there.
Yeah.
His screen adaptations have been halted after allegations of sexual misconduct. Netflix's Dead Boy Detective has been canceled. And it wasn't that good anyway. And productions by Amazon and Disney have been put on hold and amid reports about the Coraline author. Three screen adaptations of Neil Gaiman's works
Coraline?
Gaiman's works have been canceled or had their production paused amid reports accusing the author of Coraline and the Sandman of sexual misconduct. Netflix's Dead Boy Detective, based on characters created for DC Comics by Gaiman and Matt Wagner, has been canceled after one season. Production of the third and final season of the Amazon drama Good Omens, based on the 1990 novel by Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, rest in peace, has been paused, according to U.S. website Deadline. Meanwhile, development of a Disney film adaptation of Gaiman's 2008 young adult novel The Graveyard Book, I didn't even know they were doing that, has been put on hold. None of the streaming services have confirmed that these decisions were taken because of the allegations, but Gaiman apparently offered to step back from his involvement in Good Omens, according to Deadline. Gaiman's representatives declined to comment on the decisions taken by the streaming services. In July, an investigation by Tortoise Media reported allegations by two women of sexual misconduct against Gaiman, including sexual abuse and coercive behavior. Gaiman has strongly denied any unlawful conduct. One woman, whose first name is Scarlett, alleged that Gaiman performed sexual acts on her without her consent when she was working as a nanny for the author's family in New Zealand. Gaiman said they only engaged in consensual acts. A second... Well, now listen to this. At least, you gotta believe him here. Because she was his nanny, and he literally said, oh yeah, we had sex, but it was consensual. So, Gaiman is married, okay? Yeah. So he literally admitted to cheating on his wife with the nanny.
Yeah.
And he's saying, yeah, I cheated on my wife with the nanny, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't non-consensual. It was consensual.
Yeah.
We had consensual sex. A man that's willing to admit he cheated, like, that right there,
I mean,
that says a lot.
That's like give up part of your fortune almost, certainly, because unless the wife... wants to go back.
Gaiman said they only engaged in consensual acts. A second woman, identified only by the initial K, alleged that Gaiman penetrated her without consent, and Gaiman denied any unlawful behavior. Further allegations have been made since Tortoise's original report, including by Carolyn Walner, who alleged that Gaiman pressured her to have sex with him and in return for letting her live at his property in upstate New York, and made her sign a non-disclosure agreement in return for $275,000 payment. That is a very high-class hooker.
Well, she's already broken the contract.
Gaiman has said that the relationship has been entirely consensual. Wow.
That's someone wanting an extra paycheck, sounds like to me.
Well, you know what?
She's going to sign a non-disclosure
and then she
and make $200,000+.
And then go ahead and say it. Well, I mean...
And then go and say, that's someone's wanting a little extra.
But Gaiman did...
Because how are they going to prove any of that?
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I think without evidence and depending on how long it is, statute of limitation. I hate it if it was true, but I very much doubt it. Just hearing it, that she willingly signed a non-disclosure agreement instead of going straight to the police. If it had been non-consensual,
mm-hmm.
I know they say, well, they're feeling shame and all that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a lot of BS to prolong, because people are brought up to know that if you have a problem, you got to report it.
Right.
Sure, unless, you know, you live in certain neighborhoods, they're like, oh, be wary about those people. They pull you over. They got guns.
Waffle House customer gets angry waiting for his food and kills worker, NC cops say. A Waffle House customer grew increasingly agitated while waiting on his food and shot one of the employees, according to investigators in North Carolina. It happened around 12:40 in the morning on Friday, September the 13th, at a Waffle House near the intersection of blah, 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 blah. It's a 100-mile drive southwest from Raleigh, the Laurinburg Police Department said in a news release. The gunman remains at large and hasn't been identified. Investigators say 18-year-old Burley Dawson Locklear of Red Springs was shot as he was working inside the restaurant. He was pronounced dead after being taken to Scotland Memorial Hospital, police said. Damn. The suspect came to the business and ordered food. While the food was being prepared, the suspect became more agitated and verbally abusive toward the employees, police said. Once the food was provided, the suspect walked toward a vehicle, turned and fired two shots in the direction of the business, striking Locklear. Damn.
Stupid.
The man drove off in a vehicle described as a dark gray older model Chevrolet, officials said. Details of what started the dispute were not released, and investigators did not say if Locklear was an intended target.
I didn't get my hash browns.
I mean, damn.
I mean, that any, there's no justifiable reason to ever do that.
Right.
But, man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is pretty hardcore. We've got some major stuff to talk about, all right? So, obviously, you guys know what my desktop looks like. But anyway, Japanese manga industry hit by credit card company's anti-porn restrictions. Tokyo. Japanese manga retailers are reporting pressure from a multinational credit card companies. Many based in the United States and targeted by anti-porn religious conservatives to censor their content if they wish to maintain their current payment processing arrangements. A recent report by financial news site Nikkei Asia. Nikkei Asia noted that the retailers in the immensely popular genre are now being told by payment service providers that they are infringing the rules established by American credit card brands. Nikkei Asia reported that an executive from one retailer said their company was told that it could face a penalty up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a day if it continued to accept a particular credit card for transactions. In a scenario familiar to many adult industry companies and creators, the processor passing on the information did not disclose what the specific infringements were. They never do, forcing the retailers to guess which content was considered objectionable. In the end, according to the report, the retailer had no choice but to stop taking payment by overseas credit card, even though that was how the majority of their online payments were received. The executive told Nikkei Asia, "We'll have to reduce our platform's dependence on adult content. If we want to expand our market, we better stick with the global standards." Although some sources requested anonymity, Nikkei Asia did identify popular online out-of-print comic source Manga Library Z as one of the sites asked to censor its offerings under penalty of losing the ability to process payments. Manga Library Z co-founder, manga artist Ken Akamatsu, who is also a legislator, stated that Japan's rich creative industry, including manga, anime, and games, was born out of its freedom of expression. He also noted that non-Japanese credit card companies are actively targeting manga alongside producers and distributors of porn, known locally as AV. They're also targeting Arrowgate. We're seeing that hit hard, DL site, and Dempasoft, obviously. The next request from card brands could be to ban novels or violent scenes altogether. Yes, it's coming. Akamatsu added, "Some say Japan should comply with the global standards, but if Japanese content becomes too globalized and loses its unique charm, it will also lose its appeal and demand from overseas."
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
Much like their U.S. and international counterparts, legal scholars and free speech activists in the country are warning of the chilling effect these business practices can have on free expression involving sexuality. Law professor Yoko Shida cautioned, if a certain genre of expression were to be taken down because of potentially harming card brands' reputation, that could lead to considerable intimidation in the realm of free expression.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is against the Constitution that the card companies live in.
Yeah, they're pushing this. They're like, we have freedom of speech in this country, which means, oh, well, you don't use our card. Well, we want to start our own credit card company. You know, like, people are going to eventually...
kind of like make your own YouTube.
People are going to probably try to do that.
And you
because,
know, since Rumble's started taking off so big, they've been trying to get them shut down. Like,
I know.
They don't. They tell you start it, but then they want to shut you down.
Like I said, it's going to be... Eventually, somebody's going to create their own, and they're going to try. There's going to be a lot of court cases, and it's going to be hectic. People might actually get, like, you might have people end up gone because of this. Like, because we're messing with people's money. And when you start messing with these big people's money, they start doing things.
And that's just like Disney.
Yeah, like, that's just like Disney.
They're losing enough money on their movies, why do they keep making them with the people that are renting them?
Right. Okay, so... Hentai character Sasha Nakamoto joins Fleshlight lineup. Austin, Texas. Fleshlight has unveiled the new Sasha Nakamoto Stroker, the first anime hentai-inspired product from the brand's fantasy collection. In other words, the very first hentai-based thing we have in the West as far as toys go. The Sasha Nakamoto Fleshlight is specifically designed for fans of anime and modeled after that character, which I've never heard of. Because of course I've never heard of it! I'm supposed to be the hentai guy, and I don't know who the fuck Sasha Nakamoto is. Inspired by the stunning and ever-mysterious character Sasha Nakamoto, this Fleshlight brings your wildest anime dream, said a representative. Designed with meticulous attention to detail, Sasha captures the allure and fantasy that fans crave. Well, isn't that interesting?
You sound like church lady. Isn't that special?
All right, bad news, guys. Resident Evil and No More Hero... Well, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't what I was talking about. But we will talk about this one. Resident Evil and No More Heroes creators join long list of devs who think Metacritic is bad for game developers. Goichi Suda 51, how about we use that? No More Heroes and Killer 7 reckons a focus on Metacritic scores is bad for creativity. Speaking to GI.biz, recently alongside survival horror genre maker upper Shinji Mikami, Suda expressed his frustrations with a review aggregator platform's cultural cache. Everybody pays too much attention to and cares too much about Metacritic scores. It's gotten to the point where there's almost a set formula. If you want to get a high Metacritic score, this is how you make the game, Suda51 told GI.biz. If you've got a game that doesn't fit to that formula, that marketability scope, it loses points on Metacritic. The bigger companies might not want to deal with that kind of thing. That might not be the main reason, but that's certainly one reason why. Everyone cares too much about the numbers. Mikami chimed in too, adding that he believes that small, more interesting games get less attention because of all the big budget games that are out there and all the power that's put into the marketing for them. The kind of games that get the most marketing support are the ones that need to appeal to as broad an audience as possible, said Mikami. More unique games don't really have the same marketability. These are, of course, not especially new sentiments. Metacritic's dominance on the last word of a game's quality has been regularly called out as an oppressive influence for quite some time now. There's been a few famous cases of bonuses being withheld from studios for not hitting a certain threshold, namely Destiny and Fallout New Vegas. Writing for Kotaku over a decade ago, Jason Schreier explored the aggregator's harmful influence, saying Metacritic is a useful tool, but video game publishers have turned it into a weapon. As a writer who has been known to put a score on a game on the internet, I have my own issues with Metacritic, namely how its reductive translation of stars into numbers tends to flatten nuance even more than review scores naturally do anyway, sometimes inviting harassment on critics for the unforgivable crime of saying a game that audience has already declared as a masterpiece is simply good. Rightly or not, 6 out of 10 carries different connotations to 3 stars. The conversation came about as part of G.I.Biz's longer interview with the two, where they discussed the upcoming Shadows of the Damned Tele remastered, a normal regular remaster of the 2011 third-person shooter. The interview also covers another ill-fated collaboration between the two that never saw the light of day, Zombie Rider. Maybe it just wasn't fucked up enough, said Suda of the game. If it was a bit more fucked up, maybe Mikami would have been into it. But it just didn't have that level of what the hell is going on in this game. Grasshopper were bought by NetEase in 2021 and are currently working on a new unannounced IP, which they teased a little of last year. Okay, so that's that. Miley Cyrus Flowers has sparked a copyright infringement lawsuit. It basically says, Miley Cyrus has been sued for allegedly ripping off Bruno Mars's When I Was Your Man for her Grammy-winning hit song Flowers. Oof. The lawsuit filed in California federal court on Monday was brought by Tempo Music Investments, which acquired a 2020 share, which acquired in 2020 a share of the copyright to the Mars track from songwriter Philip Lawrence. It accuses Cyrus of intentional copying, constituting infringement. Songwriters Gregory Hine and Michael Pollack, who co-wrote the song with Cyrus, Sony Music Publishing, and distributors of the song, including Apple, Live Nation, and Amazon, were also named in the complaint, which doesn't involve Mars on either side. Flowers, written after Cyrus's divorce with Liam Hemsworth, became an overnight hit when it debuted in January 2023 at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 chart, where it stayed for 8 weeks. A year later, it earned her her first Grammy. Similarities between the two tracks were immediately apparent. Cyrus' song is regarded by many listeners as an interpolation of When I Was Your Man, which was released in 2013. You need to look up that term, interpolation. They've been using this a lot. Basically, it's like, hey, we're going to take the same rhythm notes from this song and change the style of it.
You know how many people have been sued?
So many.
Led Zeppelin. They got sued and lost.
Yep.
Someone came out with it before they did. They just changed, I think. Changed
yeah, the interpolation shit is getting really crazy. Rick Beato talks about that. Tempo Music's complaint alleges that Flowers is an unauthorized derivative of the Mars record.
You know, Bruno Mars has been gotten for it, too, on...
I'll bet.
24 Karat Magic.
Oh, yeah. It points to substantial similarities in the melody, harmony, and chorus. Indeed, the opening vocal line from the chorus of Flowers begins and ends on the same chords as the opening vocal line in the verse of When I Was Your Man, states the complaint. The lawsuit details overlaps in the melodic designs of the songs, which Tempo Music says share the same musical fingerprint. If they do. It also cites a side-by-side comparison of the lyrics. When Mars sings that I should have brought you flowers and held your hand, Cyrus sings I can buy myself flowers and I can hold my own hand, for instance.
Yep, that sounds like a lonely cat lady. Kind of like Taylor Swift.
A comparison of the lyrics of the two songs also suggests that the musical similarities are no coincidence, writes Alex Weingarten, a lawyer for the company, in the complaint. In the case, Cyrus may argue that she's protected by fair use, which provides protection for the use of copyrighted material to make a secondary work as long as it's transformative. Yeah,
it
has
to be a parody.
Yeah,
a parody
it really
law.
Has to be a parody, and they're really pushing too far
and
with this.
She's not funny.
They're really pushing too far with this.
Pay the man.
Okay, so we're not going to go through that one. Okay, so here's the bad news, guys. So, Resident Evil Code Veronica remake tease leaves fans divided. If you guys don't know already, Code Veronica is my favorite Resident Evil game. I've played it so many times, and I had a thing for the plant version of, what was her name? Not Veronica, but the final boss. I can't remember if her name was Alice or whatever. But
no,
anyway,
I never finished it.
I liked the plant version of her, and somebody actually did a deviant art a long time ago of it. But anyway, yeah, I liked that game a lot. A recent rumor related to the popular Resident Evil entry, Code Veronica, may leave fans feeling divided as to what to expect from a potential remake. When Capcom released the Resident Evil remake in 2002 for the GameCube, it arguably set a new standard. Yet, it would take Capcom nearly 2 decades to release a new remake in the beloved survival horror series with 2 in 2019. The most recent remake arrived in 2023 with the acclaimed Resident Evil 4, and earlier this year, current series director Koshi Nakanishi teased that a new Resident Evil is in development. That being said, we don't know whether this new Resident Evil will be a remake or a new story. However, it does seem that much of the community is leaning towards the latter, but previous rumors have claimed that the original game in the series could be remade again, as well as Resident Evil 0 and Resident Evil 5. Many fans believe out of all the games to be remade, Resident Evil Code Veronica is the most deserving, with it largely considered the last traditional game with tank controls and an emphasis on inventory management, two key survival horror concepts. Naturally, following the success of RE2 and RE4, if a new Code Veronica was to arrive, fans would hope that the survival core classic would benefit from the same level of treatment. Sadly, however, that may not be the case. Redditor shared an article from Twisted Voxel that claims known industry insider Dust Golem, who is proven, he was the one that knew all about Resident Evil 6 before it came out, says that a potential RE Code Veronica remake would not be created to the same level as 2023's Resident Evil 4 and would be a less ambitious project. Dust Golem went on to claim to members on Discord that Capcom is also working on a Resident Evil 0 remake, but that and Code Veronica are the only two remakes the company is currently working on. It's entirely possible that the RE Code Veronica remake could be a similar revival to the upcoming Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster, which is essentially the same game as it was in 2006, but with a quality of life improvements and enhanced visuals. Okay, that isn't what we were getting with the actual remake that the... Remember that Brazilian team was making the Resident Evil Code Veronica remake? Yeah, they were doing a real remake, and Capcom shut them down. So now we were like, okay, Capcom, where's your remake? And they're like, oh, well, we're not really going to give you a remake. We're just going to improve the original a little. Okay, that's not what the fans were giving us. I just hope Code Veronica doesn't get the RE3 remake treatment where half the content's removed. And another guy said, just give me the damn Code Veronica remake already. As long as they keep Code Veronica in all of its disturbing glory, I'll be happy. I think it's one of the most underrated RE games, and I love it. Resident Evil 0 was not a great game, but it could be remade and reimagined to be great. Code Veronica also needs some work to monetize, so these two are definitely not easy games to remake. Hopefully Capcom will release new details on the upcoming Resident Evil as well as any other remakes or remasters that may be in the works. We'll keep you posted when those details drop. Now, what he has said... See, because here's the fan remake. It's amazing, like, this. Here's the fan remake. Let's just look at what the fans were working on. This is what the fans were working on. So, Capcom, you have to beat this. If you're going to give us a remake, it's got to look like this. Like, we're gonna show the whole thing. This is just what they were showing as far as the different areas and things. So, remember, this got shut down, and they were working pretty hard on it, designing all the different areas and things, just showing you, you know, the... Let's see... See? This was the fucking remake. That was the remake. We already had something good. They were already done with the damn... Like, I played this. I didn't play... Look, completely renewed gameplay. So I don't think I've played some of these stages. I did have problems with the zombies. I actually have some videos of this on my YouTube channel that people have watched where I just sat there and let two zombies fight each other. That was kind of cool. Yep, you can... run around. I mean, it still had some work. It was still rough, but it definitely looked the part.
Yeah, I've
played that area. I hadn't actually got to this area. I never finished the demo.
Well, I've got, I guess, I'm pretty sure it was, I don't think it was PS5, but it's
new and PS4 improved.
Dead Rising. and it looks better than this.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, this is the remake of Code Veronica, though, is what they were going for. They wanted to go for the style of Resident Evil 2. They were trying to push it in the RE2, because this has, like, the RE2 graphics. Mm. See, I've never even seen these stages. I never even got this far. This is a little different. Yeah, see how it kind of clips through him? Yeah. I mean, it's still kind of rough, but they were showing you exactly, you know, what they were planning. I've never even seen these areas. Again, I've played the demo, but I've never gotten this far. It does look kind of like the police station, though. Yeah. But remember, they were also making Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil, at the same time, and that's where they got hit.
Well,
let's see. Like I said, their zombies took forever to fucking kill.
Yeah.
They took a million bullets.
And that's the bad thing in a game. It only gives you limited bullets.
Yes, absolutely. And I was one of the ones that was telling them. I remember I got kicked from that server. Because we were trying to give them some feedback. Wow, this looks more like Resident Evil 1. I guess they were trying to, again, meld them.
You know, it starts out in that mansion.
Right. Well, I know Resident Evil 1 does, but Code Veronica...
Or Code Veronica does.
No, Code Veronica starts out on the prison island. Remember?
But it's in a mansion type...
Well, there is a like a creepy dollhouse area.
Well, I mean the first intro level of her being going is in a mansion. She goes up the staircase, goes to.
Oh yeah. You're talking about that small area. Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. Where the submarine is. I mean, at least...
Well, aim for the head, lady.
Yeah.
Don't you ever watch a zombie movie every once in a while?
Let's see. They were showing that you could combine the herbs. See, they had gotten pretty far along, is what I'm saying. This is pretty far along. They were just showing the designs of the guns. You will feel the terror. Oh, yeah. I remember being... Wow. I don't remember this. I mean, they did expand on it a little bit, it looks like, because it doesn't look... Much like the original, it has some bits, but, and of course now they're showing off their Yeah, this is a lot bigger. It's like they put their own mansion in it. I really don't remember. Oh, there he is. Yep, look at those things. Damn. Yeah, you do have to fight those things. Shit. That's crazy. Yep, there they are. Damn. Yeah, like I said, Capcom, you have to compete with this. Which shouldn't be that difficult. But if they're just going to touch it up, that's not what people want. People want a real remake. Let's see. Let's see. And there's your save point. It's almost done. Bow gun, storage key. Showing that you can use that. Yeah, they were just showing this is what we've got made. We almost did it.
Oh.
I just don't remember that. I do not remember all of that.
I mean, it was the very first part of it.
No, the very first part, you're in the prison cell. very first part of the game, you're in the prison cell.
Well, I'm just saying it's within the first 10
minutes. There's the super tire. And they did announce the freaking super tire. And we never got to fight this damn thing. And remember, it was different. It was like, hey, here's the tyrant. We're not even going to wait to the end of Resident Evil. We're just going to freaking give you the tyrant, and he's going to chase you around. Wow, I can't even believe she survived that. Like, if something that powerful hit me in the face...
Now I've got the remake of Resident Evil 2, and I hadn't started playing yet.
I finished that. I finished that all three times.
I want to get the skins where you can play as Id or Shrek. Or Shrek's the bad guy, or
Id's
the bad guy, or the clown.
And there
Pennywise,
he is.
I mean.
There he is. They even went that far. They even went that far as to making that. See, this was getting real close, guys. And, okay, it basically said on Twitter, from what I heard, Zero is being led by K2 and M2, which did separate ways from RE4 and were support studio in RE4. Code Veronica is Capcom Dev 1 with a lot of the same people who worked on RE2 and RE4, though. Earlier in his post, the same leaker also instructed fans to wipe the expectations of Resident Evil 9 being announced this summer. Although that may be disappointing to some, others were psyched to see further confirmation that the Code Veronica remake is going ahead. So, I'm glad we're seeing this, but damn it, they need to make what we showed you. They need to make it better than what we showed you.
That's much better than the images.
This can be done. They just need to do it, give it damn justice. And this is my favorite Resident Evil game, so I'm going to be pissed if they fuck this up. I'm even going to buy it on Steam.
I always love 2.
My favorite one is Code Veronica.
I wasn't as crazy about.
Without a doubt. Favorite Resident Evil games in order. Code Veronica, Resident Evil Revelations 1, and then Resident Evil, then Resident Evil 2.
I think like Dead Island, the first Dead Island I just didn't care for, and then the second one came out, I loved the hell out of it. I play it like crazy whenever I have a chance to play games.
Yep.
I'm going to try the new South Park tonight, I think.
Okay, yeah.
It's a 3D video game.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. So, since there's already been enough talking about the Pocket Pair lawsuit with Nintendo and PAL World, for our last article, we're going to talk about the biggest bit of news we have. Japanese fans are siding with Nintendo over the Pocket Pair lawsuit. With the news that Nintendo and the Pokemon Company are suing Pocket Pair, the reaction by Japanese fans has generally been in favor of Nintendo. That's not to say that Japanese fans are hugely supportive of Nintendo or the Pokemon Company. The issue that tends to crop up is that the Pocket Pair already had a history of copying Nintendo's output, and that this was the inevitable outcome. For instance, one post on X points out that Craftopia was a copy of Breath of the Wild, so that the situation with PAL World is by no means a one-off. You'd also have people pointing out that the apparent partnership between Pocket Pair with Sony and Aniplex likely expedited Nintendo's legal response. With this being similar to the case with Kolopal back in 2017. The interesting thing here is that the Western response has been more on Pocket Pair's side, viewing them as some kind of underdog, which is not the viewpoint shared by Japanese fans. Remember, Pocket Pair is a Japanese company, so it's very interesting that the Japanese are not supporting this company in that. The way Pocket Pair called the indie developer card actually angered some people here. As such, I spoke with Japanese gaming analyst Serkin Toto about the situation. He was very much aware of the reaction by fans in Japan. It is difficult to quantify, but there can be no doubt the overwhelming majority of Japanese voicing their opinions online are actually backing Nintendo. Reactions range across schadenfreude, anticipation of what will happen to Pocket Pair in the future, or pure malice. Most people in Japan seem to think that Pocket Pair now get what they deserve, whereas opinions seem to be more divided in the West. What's also apparent in the Western discourse is the lack of understanding of how patent law works, or in general how intellectual property law operates. In Japan, the sense that Pocket Pair has plagiarized Nintendo's works is somehow more keenly felt. Not because they have any loyalty to Nintendo, but just on the principle that it's wrong. In any case, it's clear that Nintendo has been preparing for this legal showdown since PAL World launched in January, and it seems that Pocket Pair is in a rough ride either way. Okay. And I've got this one more bonus article, which we do need to talk about, because there's one other thing that happened. So, the big, huge fan anime got canceled. The big, major one they were going to do. It got C and D'd. There's a reason for that. Basically, the company was trying to say, oh, we're just a small indie company. No, they employed 150 plus people to make a fan-made Berserk anime that basically rivals the shit they do in Japan. So, of course, the company that creates or has the rights to Berserk said, this is unlicensed. And you know what happened? They got an official C&D and canceled the whole project. And you know who was mad the most? Japan. Japan was saying, says you need to be humble, bow, and ask for it to be made. That's what they said. One user said, bow and ask for it to be made. That's what they said. They said, you can't just make this on your own. You don't have the rights to make this. This is fraud. You ought to be in jail. That's the Japanese sentiment. I've been reading the Japanese are pissed. Yeah. The last time
they
that
don't exactly follow copyright law that well.
No, they do. Their copyrights are year.
Maybe I'm thinking China.
No. Japan. China is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah.
The last time that anime fans were able to explore Band of the Hawk was thanks to 2022's Berserk Memorial Edition. The compilation series took footage old and new from the trilogy of movies created by Studio 4C, releasing it as a way to pay homage to deceased creator Kentaro Miura. Unfortunately, Berserk has been making the news recently thanks in part to controversy surrounding fan anime productions and how the artists at Studio Gaga weren't thrilled to see the project's release without official backing. Despite its controversy, it's long past time for Berserk to get a new anime adaptation worthy of Miura's works. So, okay, good, there's not much. Berserk's history in the anime world is filled with ups and downs. To start, the brutal manga's first anime arrived in 97 and was universally praised in that it stuck close to Miura's art style, while covering the majority of one of Berserk's biggest storylines, the Golden Age arc, which you've seen, I'm sure you have. Following this, it was decades before Guts and the Band of Hawk would return to the screen via Berserk the Golden Age Arc Trilogy. I have that, too. Perhaps the most controversial release was the Berserk anime of 2016, which received two seasons and followed Guts after the Eclipse. I've watched both. Berserk's treasure trove of material. Despite receiving two anime series and trilogy of films, there is a vast library of events and battles that have never been animated. From Guts' Dark Journey. Even with the 2016 anime adaptation seeing Guts creating his new band of adventurers to tag along in his quest, including Farnese, Puck, Serpico, Isidro, and Shirk, the series didn't have the opportunity to translate all of Miura's stories from the manga. Rest assured, the stories that were never brought to the small screen are well worth bringing to the anime world. Some of the material that was never brought to life includes Griffith's further creation of the new Band of the Hawk, an army that saw humans teaming up with apostles for the first time. The stories also saw Guts doing the unthinkable and teaming up with the White Hawk in an effort to take on a darker threat in the Kushin Empire. Wow, I didn't even know that. Even with the tragic passing of Kentaro Miura, the series has continued thanks to the artists of Studio Gaga and new writer Koji Mori, who are all honoring their friend by working to finish the series. The time is now for Berserk. Anime has never been more popular than it is today, as sales for anime and manga have gone up by leaps and bounds thanks to the coronavirus pandemic. Even while lockdowns have subsided, the desire for fans to pick up anime stories has not. Berserk remains one of the biggest anime franchises the world over, and all it needs is a studio willing to adapt the manga for the long haul. With production studio houses such as MAPPA, David Productions, and Science Saru, and countless more creating big anime series, the Band of the Hawk would benefit from any of these studios taking up the Dragon Slayer. The main obstacle that many anime fans see in adapting Berserk is simply living up to the high standards set by Kentaro Miura. The deceased mangaka's artwork is so detailed and gorgeous that many believe no anime adaptation could ever truly do it justice. However, as technology continues to advance and more funds are placed into the medium, now might be the best time to once again return to God's dark locale. Want to see if the Band of the Hawk gets a chance to return to anime world? Follow along with Team Anime on comicbook.com for the latest updates on Berserk, or hit me up directly at EV Comedy to talk all things comics and anime. All right, guys, so that is the last article we have, guys. That seems to be everything. There is maybe something I might talk about a little later. Maybe I'll talk about it with Empress. But it involves the... Happy Saint Chiol thing. People are really pissed about it because apparently they censored it in Japan. So nobody gets the H scenes. I mean, nobody. Japan doesn't get the H scenes. You don't get the H scenes. Korea doesn't get them. China doesn't get them. Nobody gets the H scenes. You get all the gore you could possibly ever want, but you don't get the H scenes.
Do you ever remember the George Carlin said about... He said, I'd rather... two kids see two people making love than murdering one another, which would change the whole thing in the westerns. He's like, all right, Sheriff, we're going to fuck you now.
They're pretty gory.
We're going to fuck you slow.
They're pretty gory. I've heard that. It's got quite a bit of gore.
Yeah.
Playing it on here.
To see the hentai or the gore.
We'll be playing it as soon as the Jazz release comes. I know it's going to be a little controversial, so we'll probably do just one video of it. I'll be playing it. Feel free to bring your, let me know in the comments section what you guys think of it. Because, like, I know there's going to be some people that's like, oh, this should be boycotted because blah, blah. We'll do one fucking thing on it, okay? And that's it. But all right, guys, this is the Grimlord and DP, and we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.